Going to the movies used to be a weekly adventure for most Americans in the early to mid-20th century, and part of the draw wasn't just the movies. Movie palaces and the elaborate marketing of movies were a big part of the excitement of going out, and one important Texas theater chain had a big impact on how we went to the movies, especially in El Paso. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The upcoming documentary, Before the Curtain Rises, is the story of a Texas theater empire which owned and operated several El Paso theaters. Jeffrey Mills is the founder and director of the Houston-based nonprofit Documentary Alliance and director and producer of the film Before the Curtain Rises. I'm delighted to have him on the program for the first time. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for joining us from your office in Houston, Texas, where I know you're hard at work on trying to complete your film. This is the story of Interstate Theaters, which owned and operated a number of venues in El Paso and across the state and even across the South. When did you become aware of Interstate Theaters and its history, and why did you decide to make a film about them?
Well, that's an interesting story. I had a friend and associate who worked in sound production in Houston. And one day after we had recorded a narration, we just started to talk about our love of the movies, and he mentioned that he had been an usher at the Majestic Theater in Houston, which was one of Interstate's theaters and part of their big chain. And he got involved in high school, was only there a couple of years, and it was very late in the history of the chain. It was in the very early 70s when most of the theaters were closing. And in fact, this particular theater did close after he had his last summer there, but he'd become very close friends with the manager. And they, unfortunately, virtually all of the Interstate theaters in downtown Houston were torn down, and this was one of the first to go. And the manager invited him to come with him when they started to tear the theater down because he had been a manager there for many, many years and had become friends with my friend. And they sat and watched this piece of history being destroyed forever. I think it's ironically, now it's just a parking lot in downtown Houston, which is the fate of too many of these beautiful palatial theaters. And so I thought, my gosh, this is an amazing story. And I didn't know anything about Interstate. I knew some of their theaters, but nothing about the company itself. And started to do research and fell in love with the history. And discovered, not right away, but I mentioned it almost a year into my research to my father, that I was planning to do this, you know, a documentary about the history and the importance of this circuit of theaters. And he mentioned that he had worked at Interstate, which I'd never known.
Wow.
And he was from El Paso. He worked at the Palace Theater, which was like the sort of the sister theater to the Plaza, one of the Interstate theaters, one of almost a half a dozen, I think, in El Paso. And he pulled out a photo album of pictures that I'd never seen before of him in his usher's uniform. I think he worked his way up to assistant manager. And like a lot of people who worked in the theaters at that level, it was a high school job and an early college job. But
sure,
he had loved it. And I'd never seen him open up about the joy he had of working in the theater and why it was more special than just, you know, a summer job. You know, you were part of the community. It was then in those days, and this would have been in the late 30s, you know, going to the theaters was an event. It wasn't just, you know, going to see the favorite film that came in. As you had mentioned, the theaters were as much the reason that people went to see the movies as the movie itself.
Yeah, and I think what's important about the film you're making and the history you're preserving is that we have a knowledge of the great movie palaces of this country from photographs. Often they're gone, but no one's really told the story of the companies for which that architecture was part of their branding and part of the allure, and it was all part of a business strategy, and I guess that's part of what you're covering in this film.
That's true. I mean, the theater circuit business, the exhibition business, was a huge part of Hollywood. Early on, as I mentioned, that, you know, the theaters were a critical part of publicizing the arrival of the film. People wanted to go see the movie because the environment was so wonderful. And most of the larger movie palaces were built just prior to and just into the Depression. And so it was really a place for people to go and separate themselves from, you know, the day-to-day issues that they had because of the depression, the economy. And also there were some of the first buildings that were air-conditioned in downtown. So that was another good reason to go to the movies.
You, in choosing Interstate, particularly have an amazing array of decades to cover. They began, I gather, in the vaudeville era, in which when movies were just beginning to be shown in theater venues, but not necessarily movie theater venues. That concept wasn't there quite yet, but the vaudeville stage was giving way occasionally to screens. And then you, I guess, Interstate went all the way up into the 70s, and what a swath of cinema history that covers.
It's really the golden age of cinema. It's interesting to go back into some of the records and read about how the executives were toying with including film in the presentation, you know, in the theater. There was a lot of debate about whether motion pictures would even catch on. I mean, vaudeville was really their core business, and they saw the potential, but they didn't really see initially how big movies would be. And so even into the 50s, the circuit, Interstate Circuit, built most of their theaters with stages because they felt like the live performance segment of what they did was still critical, and they didn't want to give that up. And ironically, that was one of the things that enabled some of their theaters, some of the really big movie palaces, to be restored, because, you know, they all did have full stages.
Yes.
And because of that, it allowed the building to have a second life, because a single screen theater really wasn't economically viable today or even 20 years ago. But the fact that they could also show live performances, you know, gave them a new economic life.
Part of the story told, too, is the Plaza Theater here in El Paso, Texas, which was one of the crown jewels in the Interstate theater chain for a while. And I guess it's a story of renaissance, of the theater closing but also being reborn as a performing arts center. Looking at some of the historic photos of the Plaza Theater, you see these incredibly elaborate staged events out front, this incredible marquee, temporary stands that would be put up. I gather that was part of what this company did, was not just show movies, but create whole events around them.
Yes, yes, very much so. I mean, they referred to themselves, and people at that time referred to them as showmen. So it wasn't, they weren't really movie operators, exhibitionists in the terms of the exhibition business. But, you know, they were there to create an event, as you said, and bring people in for all different kinds of things. The marketing was amazing. Many of the large theaters had in-house scenic shops where they had carpenters who built a lot of the marketing billboards and stuff that were associated with the traveling shows. And also, because this was for many, many years, way prior to media coverage like some of the television shows that cover opening films, they would put together tours of the stars that would come to the theater usually on opening night and introduce the film, you know, from the stage. And that was a really big part of their promotional efforts. I think in the 50s, too, when television started to look like it was going to come in and really hurt their business, they actually put together a huge bus tour of the state and invited people like John Wayne to come and basically invite people to come back to the movie experience, you know, not to give it up by just staying at home and watching television or movies, you know, on the small screen.
The history of the Plaza Theater is part of the story you tell, but some of the imagery in it, I know you've shot in and around the restoration of the theater here, and some of the interviews that are contained in the film were shot at the theater. What stage in the production are you now pretty much done with the principal photography, and you're working on the post-production phase of the film?
That's correct. We finished all of the shooting and have been doing some of the final research on stills and footage, archival footage to use, and are just poised to start editing. And, you know, going back to the issue of including the story of the Plaza, very early on, we assumed that this film would be pretty much a traditional historical documentary that just talked about the rise and fall of this sort of empire of movies, of movie exhibition. And we felt that it had, you know, all the right elements, visual elements, to make it an interesting documentary. But when we discovered that the plaza in El Paso and individuals within the city, primarily the El Paso Community Foundation, were really pushing to save the theater and restore it, an interesting sidebar. But as we researched it, we realized that this could be just a core element of the film. And in a sense, it gave the whole story a better ending, a more circular ending, because it's the rebirth of something that didn't just completely die, and that the theaters could be repurposed and really bring new life to downtown and new economic force to revitalization of cities and city centers. And that, we felt, was satisfying for us personally to be able to follow that because of my connection with El Paso and also the wonderful job that they did in restoring the theater. And really the tough road that El Paso had in saving this theater, because it was a very expensive process. Mm-hmm. And we had seen nothing but a lot of other failures. I mean, Houston being unfortunately the poster child for tearing down virtually everything that Interstate had built here. So we thought this really should be, you know, the bones that the whole story hangs on, so that it, you know, it has a future to it. You know, there's a future to the theater. There's hope in the story, and it doesn't just, you know, recount the something that was wonderful that's now gone forever.
And at the heart of that story is intense community support, and I know that you're seeking community support to complete your film, to tell the story of the Plaza Theater as well as Interstate Theaters. You have an Indiegogo campaign going on. How long is that going, and how much are you trying to raise?
That's going to the very end of the year, practically. I think it does end on New Year's Eve. And we're trying to raise $50,000, which will go towards virtually all of the post-production expenses. You can go to Indiegogo to look at the site and see, and this is like a lot of the crowdfunding sites, where mm-hmm. at different giving levels you're given different gifts. And we have a lot of cool things like T-shirts and coffee cups, and obviously DVDs, but we have some signed books as well, one from Nick Clooney and one from Leonard Maltin at some of the upper levels of giving.
Fantastic. Well, Jeffrey, I thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about this fabulous project, and thanks for preserving this important history of Interstate Theaters and some of our theaters here in El Paso. Best of luck completing your film.
Thank you very much.
I've been discussing the upcoming documentary film Before the Curtain Rises with its director and producer, Jeffrey Mills. The film chronicles the history of one of Texas's most important entertainment companies, Interstate Theaters. Interstate Theaters owned and operated several important movie theaters in El Paso, including one of its crown jewels, the Plaza Theater. Mr. Mills is the founder and director of the Houston-based nonprofit Documentary Alliance, and you can learn more about the film Before the Curtain Rises at interstatetheaters.com, and that's theater spelled with an R-E. To support the film with a donation to its tax-deductible completion fund, just click on the Indiegogo link on the film's website. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.